we'd be having our Easter vigil if this was normal circumstances. But what I would say then, and I say to you now, is as this day comes to a close, we don't know the day or the hour in which our Lord rose from the dead. So we get to begin in our worship tonight in celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Christ is risen, hallelujah. is risen henceforth never. Death or hell shall pass and fall. We are Christ in him forever. We have triumphed over all. All the doubting and dejection of our trembling hearts have ceased. Hail the day of resurrection. Let us rise and keep the feast. Christ is risen, alleluia, risen our victorious friend. Sing his praises, alleluia, Christ is risen from the dead.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. And by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A reading from Acts. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 118 responsibly. Will you all please read the bold print?
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
By the Lord has this been done. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have a second reading from 1 Corinthians, beginning with the first verse of chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. According to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Growing up, there was a song that I remember listening to from a group called Semisonic. The song was called Closing Time. And it ends with these words, "Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end." The Gospel of Mark has become one of my favorite stories of the resurrection. Now, in your Bibles, you'll see that Mark has a shorter ending and a longer ending, and many believe the shorter ending that we just heard is the original ending. That's how Mark intended to end his gospel. The women encounter an empty tomb. They hear Jesus has been raised, but they don't see the resurrected Christ. They're afraid, and the gospel ends. Imagine seeing this in a movie playing out. Some people would say, "This is ingenious." Other people would be like, "I want my money back," right? I mean, they're walking through this. When hearing this gospel account this year, what if we looked at this not so much as an ending, but leading us all to a new beginning? The women at the tomb are coming to terms with a new beginning because the world as they knew it was coming to an end. The good news of the resurrection received and shared also means that their lives, as they know it, will come to an end. Make no mistake, grief disrupts our lives. We can say time heals the wounds. We can try to keep busy and get back to a normal routine, a busy routine, but there's a disruption that grief still brings. That loss is still there. And like the women coming to Jesus' tomb, they have a routine in the wake of the death of a loved one. They need to anoint his body. We have our routines. We meet with a funeral home. We have calling hours. There's a funeral or memorial service planned. Maybe a funeral dinner to follow. And as comforting as all that can be, it's never fully adequate, is it? We go back into the world in our routines with grief, a new beginning without someone we knew and loved. And make no mistake, our lives are disrupted, disjointed. So we can relate to the women at the tomb. We all have heard the good news like they just did, but they didn't hear it from Jesus directly. In our grief, God can feel far away at times. In this account that we hear in Mark's gospel, Jesus is nowhere to be found. I understand how the women can hear this good news and still be afraid, because death has seemed to not have lost its sting. I too long to say alleluia when at times I'm just consumed by the grief and fear that the sting of death can bring. I believe this is one of the reasons why Christians try to make the gospel be about something else. We see in our society how it's been reduced to moral living, how it's been co-opted and partisan political agendas to be used as an excuse to hate and oppress others. And there are some commentaries that I observed following the latest Pew Research study on church membership in the United States. Since they've been tracking it, it's now at 47% of the population belong to a church, mosque, or synagogue. It's the lowest it's ever been. And some people online were sharing their contempt for Christians because of some of those depictions I just shared. Some shared the reality is they're not surprised because of the unfortunate experiences they've had with Christians, they've had with the church. Yes, make no mistake, the comments range from very ignorant to really heartbreaking. But too many people in our society are not having enough encounters with Christians that experience and share the joy of the crucified and risen Christ. This is why Mark's ending is not really an ending at all. The story invites us to enter this new beginning in a new world where the good news of the resurrection changes everything. When we remain at the tomb, there is no gospel. When we remain at the tomb, we make our faith to be about something else. And that might sustain us for a while. But it is not the eternal promise we have in the crucified and resurrected Christ. Christ has not left us, nor has he left the women. He has promised to be with them. He promises to be with us. And we could be assured of our Lord's abiding presence every time we gather around word and sacrament. Like the women at the tomb, we're commissioned to go out and to bear witness to this good news. Holy Week does not invite us to be mere spectators. We're commissioned to take part in the story. Jesus is the new Adam. And what we have in the crucified and resurrected Christ is a new way to be human. Let me be clear, living in such a way, imitating the way of Christ, might not make a difference in the membership of church institutions, but it might, more importantly, make more disciples of Jesus Christ. It might, more importantly, deepen the discipleship for those already part of the body of Christ. The story continues, and the way of love is being unleashed in this world. We still feel the sting of death in this world, though, right? But let me share with you how the way of love being unleashed can comfort those who grieve. As many of you know, my father died this past September, and I was fortunate enough to take part in a bereavement group through the hospice he was on. It's Good Shepherd Hospice, so it's a faith-based Christian hospice. I just want to throw that out there. And I was, and because of the pandemic, I was actually able to be part of this in Ohio because of Zoom. The group was for people who lost a parent or sibling in particular, and our group from our first session instantly bonded and connected as we shared our experiences and feelings as we were walking through our grief. There is mutual vulnerability in allowing ourselves to share our experiences and feelings, but at the same time a sacred privilege to journey with others as they open up and share as well. Jesus shows us how to be vulnerable in such a way that it can lead to healing, wholeness, and newness of life. While I personally still feel the sting of death, the beauty that emerges from the love and support of this group is evidence for me that the crucified and risen God is in our midst. And these, we were told as we were journeying through our sessions here, that these groups will stay connected for years after they formally ended. They'll gather to have pizza together. They'll stay in touch with each other. Our group had formally ended, and we're staying connected. It's a testament to the power of support groups and small groups in general, and how we're called to walk and journey with one another, serving each other, washing each other's feet, a story that we hear in Holy Week. Jesus says to love one another, and that's how the world will know that you are my disciples. We bear witness to the crucified and resurrected Christ, and every time we do that, it's a continuation of the Easter story in our world today. Our ministry engages with others, walking with them in this world, imitating the love of Christ who is with us. For example, we don't just feed the hungry, we walk with them. Our congregation has just started a new feeding ministry on Wednesday evenings, and I've been able to connect with people in the community in ways I've never been able to before when I hand them this meal. The meal is important in and of itself, right? But they're also looking for a connection. They're looking for love. They're looking for belonging. They don't want to feel this God-forsakenness that they may be experiencing, and they don't want just to be assured that God is with them. They want to experience God's abiding presence through the church and its ministry. We're not making the gospel about anything else than the promises that we have in the resurrection. We are commissioned, as the women at the tomb are, to enter into a new beginning. And if you feel that you've screwed up or that you're showing up late, that's the beauty of the resurrection. That's the beauty of Easter. It's not too late to enter this new beginning. You're never going to, if you fall behind, you can get back up, because that's how God's mercy, love, and forgiveness works. The way the world operates is now disrupted by the resurrection in embodying the way of love that we see in Jesus Christ, to wash the feet of the other, when he lays down his life for us. We too are then called to humble ourselves and imitate the risen one, to go forth and to continue that story that we hear in Mark's gospel. So my sisters and brothers, in the love, mercy, and forgiveness, we are promised with the good news of the resurrection. We are assured of new and hopeful beginnings in Christ. And we are called to be a sign of the resurrection, with healing, justice, and mercy being the work and ministry that we are called to do, with the gift of eternal life already underway. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
Gladness, the Passover.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Alive in the risen Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Praise to you for your power revealed in the resurrection. Fill your church with the power of your love that is stronger than death. Send us to tell the good news wherever death holds sway. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Praise to you for sending our servants, Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, for all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Praise to you for your life at work in the resurrection. Fill all of creation with your life. Bring it to blossom and flourish. Use it to remind us of your persistent grace. Cultivate our care for what you have made. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Praise to you for the peace made possible in the resurrection. Fill the nations with your peace. Draw together people of all nations and languages. Reveal new possibilities and inspire new beginnings. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Praise to you for the hope of the resurrection. Fill all in need with hope, those who are afraid or confused, those who are sick or suffering, those who are dying, and those who grieve. Especially this evening, we lift up to you Kylie, Matt, Tracy, Susie, Scott, Tim, Wilma, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, especially Father, be with Candace this week as she will have a very lengthy surgery. We place her into your hands for safekeeping. Give wisdom to those who care for her, Lord God, and grant comfort and grace and hope to her family. We lift up Ellie, Stan, Marlene and her family, Ken, Blaine, Robin, Michelle, Rhonda, Diane, John, Gloria, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, Frank, and all of our homebound. Assure them of your promises. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Praise to you for the joy of your resurrection. Fill this assembly with joy as we are called your beloved in baptism. Multiply that joy so that we may share it at home, at work, and in our community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Praise to you and blessings to all those in our armed services and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Praise to you for your faithfulness revealed in the resurrection. Fill us with trust that we join with Benedict the African and all who have gone before us in proclaiming, your mercy endures forever. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God.
Thanks, Father, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you sent in this end of the ages to save and redeem us and to proclaim to us your will. He is your Word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your Word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to a death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection, taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Distribution of the sacrament will be going to vehicle, and we'll be distributing the host, and we offer both consecrated wine and grape juice. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Amen.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
As Christ sends us out to the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
St. John Lutheran Church Windfall is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
From death, dispelling its gloom.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.